The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And a wonderful thing has happened, guys. Joe Biden has entered the race to become president of the United States of America. Actually, he's seeking the nomination, of course. He has 19 other candidates to fight against first before he gets the chance, before he gets the honor to do battle against President Trump. And Donald Trump greeted him with a tweet. Welcome to the race, Sleepy Joe. I only hope you have the intelligence, long in doubt, to wage a successful primary campaign. It will be nasty. You will be dealing with people who have truly have some very sick and demented ideas. But if you make it, I will see you at the starting gate. I can't believe we have a president that tweets stuff like this out. It is amazing to me that Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America. He went from punchline to president. Just astonishing. It gets me every time I think about it. You know, sometimes for fun, I'll just watch the lead up to the election. You know, on YouTube, you can look at the night. You can relive election night over and over again. And I will do that just for fun, just to watch how miserable the press is having to report Donald Trump becoming the president. It's great. And I'm looking forward to it happening again in 2020. So I do want Tulsi Gabbard to win. She is my favorite, but I doubt she's going to get any traction at all. She's so anti-war. No one cares about her. They're gonna act like she doesn't exist. Once this thing gets started, no more. They're not going to play any more games. They can't risk it. She's just out, right? And you know, now that Joe Biden is in the race, what is going to happen with Kamala Harris? Because that's who I thought they were going to push into this thing. And Joe Biden, I guess he just got tired of standing aside and is like, well, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And he just ran. Because why did he run like everybody expected? It's traditional after the president wins that his vice president gives it a shot. So why didn't they do that? Just kind of strange. So I guess they really thought Hillary had it in the bag. But she didn't have it in the bag. She lost. And much to the entertainment of the country and much to the benefit of the country, I think. Could you imagine if Hillary was president at this moment right now, how much worse things would be? Your taxes would be higher. We'd be having more wars around the world. I mean, Trump's not fulfilling his promise as much as he could for pulling back the wars. But at least he's still talking a good game. And he could be doing far worse. So, you know, I hope he wins again. Let's see. Let's unpack this Joe Biden, this Joe Biden thing, and what this means for the country and what it means for the race in general. This stuff is so interesting to me. I hope you enjoy these things. I mean, look, how can you not love this? Look at this. Obama has not endorsed him. Now, the press is reporting it as Obama is not endorsing Joe Biden, you know, and I think probably he's going to endorse Kamala Harris because they really have been pushing her. I could be wrong, you know, I could be wrong about this, and they'll probably look at the numbers and they'll you know, decide who they're going to put the thumb on the scale for this year. But now that Joe Biden is in the race, you would think he's the automatic favorite. And some news outlets have reported that, saying that he immediately jumps to the front of the race. Of course, anything that they can do to Bernie Sanders. But Joe Biden is saying the reason that Obama didn't endorse him was because he asked him not to. He's claiming that he asked Obama not to endorse him. Does anybody believe that? Is that crazy? And if it is, if it's true, is that not an automatic disqualifier? Because how bad can your decision making be than to have a past president not, than to ask a past president to not endorse you? Even if you didn't agree with everything that the past president did, which according to Joe Biden, he agrees with pretty much everything. So why would you not ask for his endorsement? It doesn't make any sense unless your decision making is piss poor or you're lying. And either one of those is bad. So already he's kind of shot himself in the foot. First gaffe, like as soon as it happens, immediately he turns around on a microphone and makes a mistake. Hey, Joe, you've announced your candidacy. What's the first thing you want to say to us, the press? He goes, well, let me open up things with a lie. And, you know, he actually did open up with a lie, even in his campaign commercial. When he announced that he was running, the spot that he ran announcing his candidacy contained lies in it already. So let's play some of that.
Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history. We know it by heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Charlottesville is also home to a defining moment for this nation in the last few years. It was there in August of 2017 we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis come out in the open. Their crazed faces, illuminated by torches, veins bulging, and bearing the fangs of racism, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile heard across Europe in the 30s. And they were met by a courageous group of Americans, and a violent clash ensued. And a brave young woman lost her life. And that's when we heard the words of the President of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of this nation. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides? With those words, the President of the United States assigned a moral equivalence between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it. And in that moment, I knew the threat to this nation was unlike any I had ever seen in my lifetime.
And in that moment, I knew Joe Biden was an idiot. What is he talking about? That how many times does this have to be shown and proven and debunked over and over and over again? That Trump was not drawing a moral equivalency between neo-Nazis and not neo-Nazis, I guess would be the way to put it. If you listen to the original speech where Trump says the words that there were good people on both sides, first of all, you have to understand the context of it, okay? Back then, there was a fight over whether or not they were going to take down some statues, right, of Southern, of Robert E. Lee and some other statues, I think, too, right? And you had people who wanted the statues to stay up, including black people. So if you ever look at the videos, if you ever take the time to research things for yourself, you will see that there really were good people on both sides. People who wanted the statues to stay up and people who wanted the statues to come down. So some people believe that the statues represent a dark past where we believed in, where we were racist, okay? And that those statues, because they represent that past, need to be taken down, okay? I can understand that point of view. I disagree with it, but I can understand it. Then you have other people who said that the statues, like them or not, represent the history of the country, and you shouldn't erase history. And I can understand that point of view also. Who's right? I mean, we don't know who's right. Maybe it would be better for the nation if we got rid of them and the nation heals, right? Maybe it would be better for the nation if we leave the statues up as reminders to never do those things again, okay? I don't know for certain. I think I know, but, you know, we don't know who's right or who's wrong. It's okay to say there are good people on both sides of that issue. But the damn press and people like Joe Biden, these vultures who know damn well that they're misrepresenting what was said, come out and they are lying to people and trying to make it sound like he's talking about the neo-Nazis and the people who wanted to take the statues down. And I think Antifa was there. I don't want to go back and look at the whole story again, but you had people who were violent on both sides. In fact, I think the person who ran over somebody with a car was getting chased, and that's why that person accelerated and hit the other person. So the whole thing was a damn mess. And to pretend, and Donald Trump has stated explicitly, time and again, that he wasn't talking about any racists. And all that film, you know, the people, the torches, and the whole theatrics of that, I mean, that's a whole other subject, but, I mean, I don't even know how legit that was. Every camera angle perfect. It's shot like it's a movie. You know, they're getting the faces of the people as they go by. And it's being done at a different time of day. I don't even know if those people were at the conflict that all of this stuff exploded in, right? So you have all of this mess. And then you've got Joe Biden coming out and lying and pretending that Donald Trump is talking about racism, and he's not. So he's already starting the campaign off on the wrong foot, because you can just look up the original statement that Trump made. And if you're anyone other than a Democrat, you probably will. Look at the original speech, look at his follow-up statements, look at how oftentimes he has denounced racism, and the press acts as if he didn't say anything. He will actively denounce it. He will say it again and again and again, and they pretend like he didn't. It's infuriating, because you know the truth and you can see that somebody is lying about it, but you know you're afraid that people are going to believe the liars when the truth is out there and it's plain for everyone to see. And this is part of the reason why they lost the election. I mean, I don't know. Maybe their constant lies, the press's constant misrepresenting, is part of the reason why they actually did as well as they did in the election. Maybe if the press didn't keep up this barrage of garbage, maybe it would be a landslide in Trump's favor. I mean, we don't know. But this constant dumping on Trump is insane. I saw Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in an interview, was it earlier this week or last week? And she's like, oh, there's so many things you can just impeach Trump with. You can just reach in a bag and grab one out. And so the person doing the interview says, what are your top three? If you were to draft the articles of impeachment, what would your top three reasons be? And she thought about it. And you can look and you can see that she doesn't know what the hell to talk about, right? So her first one is she looks around for a little bit and then she goes, emoluments. It's always been about emoluments for me. It's always been about emoluments. He's like, okay. And the second one, she goes, taxes. And then she didn't have a third one. I mean, she's just like looking around like she doesn't know what's going on, man. Emoluments, tax fraud. And then she looks like a kid who's faking their way through the essay question, right? Or through a question that the teacher asked them. They're just totally BSing, right? It's amazing how much against the president these people are. It's astonishing. So Biden's going to have his work cut out for him, because Biden's past is horrendous. I mean, You heard about the groping stuff recently. I would think, I don't know, some people actually haven't heard about this stuff. It's crazy. But Joe Biden was like, he was for segregation. You know, he was like, oh, well, that's what they want. The blacks, they want to be, you know, separate. So what else did he a bunch of horrible things. I can't even remember. I read an article in Politico about the top seven or top nine things that he's done terribly. And if Trump had done the things that Biden did, I don't even know how much harder they could go than they are now at Trump. But it would be such an uproar. So I think if Biden gets the nomination, Trump's probably a shoo-in. The only one that Trump really needs to worry about is Bernie Sanders will probably beat him. And Although Kamala Harris now is turning into Bernie Sanders, so she's she's gone from establishment Democrat, which is what she actually really is. You know, Kamala Harris is a cop, right? So she's going from establishment Democrat, and she's slowly morphing into this progressive, just saying anything that progressives want to hear. And it's really funny, but progressives are pretty much onto it. But she might be able to woo enough Sanders voters that maybe she could get in there. So Tulsi Gabbard's a possibility, but I don't think so. I think that if anybody gets in there other than Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris is a possibility, but I don't think so. I think if anybody gets in there other than Bernie Sanders or a far left progressive, I think the Bernie wing of the party is going to be so upset that they're not going to vote, or they won't vote for Trump, maybe, but they'll vote for a third party and they'll weaken the Democrat candidate enough that they'll lose. If the economy keeps up, I think Trump is going to win re-election here. It's hard to defeat an incumbent. It kind of comes down to gaffes, and I mean, Trump seems like he's gaffe-proof, doesn't he? It's amazing. So the Democrats are probably screwed. They won't let Tulsi Gabbard get in there. They're doing everything. They had a meeting to sabotage Bernie Sanders. Can you believe it? They had a meeting there, including Democrat runners, people who are running now for the nomination. They're just allowed to meet because, you know, they're sitting on boards and they're senators and representatives and stuff like that. So they can just openly get together. Well, not openly. I mean, it's in secret, but it's find-outable. I mean, they're doing it. They're just getting together to screw over Bernie Sanders, just to figure out ways to screw over Bernie Sanders. And his base is aware of this because they are they're so tuned into the internet, the media that's coming out. So they're pretty informed. And that's why it's very easy to kind of disrupt them, because they actually know what's going on. I mean, there's a reason that half the country doesn't vote, and it's because a lot of people do know what's going on in this country, and they're sick of it, and they know that there's pretty much no way to win for the most part. Not with a two-party system. So I whipped together a couple of campaign slogans. I hope you like them. So one of the scandals that broke on Joe Biden recently was that he is, oh my goodness, I mean, he's like, remember that lady came out, said that he was endorsing her, and out of nowhere, he starts smelling her hair, in back of her, and plants a slow kiss on the back of her head. So I think a good campaign slogan for Joe Biden would be, "He's got the touch." Here's a similar one. This one probably wouldn't be taken as seriously. Touching lives, touching wives, Joe Biden. And this one's my favorite here. I'm sure other people have thought of this, but this is actually an original here. Grope and change. Taking the stand-up of hope and change, you get it? A lot of times you hear Joe Biden being referred to as Crazy Uncle Joe. Crazy Uncle Joe. I think Obama has even referred to him as that. I could be wrong, but Crazy Uncle Joe. So I was thinking maybe Joe Biden could take that and, you know, turn it into a campaign slogan. So here's one, Crazy Like a Fox. Joe Biden, Crazy Like a Fox. This one's better. I think this is more campaigny, all right? Joe Biden, he's crazy for you. Little double meaning there. Another thing that you're going to be hearing, I'm sure, is about Joe Biden's age. You know, we're pretty ageist in this country, and so I'm sure a lot of his opponents will be saying that his age disqualifies him, although they have no problem with Bernie Sanders running, right? But and so maybe this would be good for like those Coro signs, those campaign signs that they put out in the yard. Joe Biden, get off my lawn. So it would serve as like a warning and campaign slogan at the same time. Now, that one might not be as good as some of the others. He had a gaffe a while back where he was telling a guy, hey, stand up. You know, I think they were honoring him, or I can't remember what the reason was. But anyway, the guy who was telling to stand up was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't stand up. He's paralyzed. Joe Biden, stand up, stand up. So I was thinking maybe a good campaign slogan playing off of that would be, I stand with Joe. And then in parentheses, possibly. You know, because Joe wants to have all the bases covered now. He learns from his mistakes, Joe Biden does. Joe Biden, another thing that got him in hot water a while back was that he had plagiarized. You know, the press is saying allegedly plagiarized. Joe Biden admitted to plagiarizing, and he dropped out because it was shown that he obviously plagiarized. And so I was thinking that since he's known for plagiarizing, maybe he would not be aware of what he was doing. I mean, maybe it was all a mistake, and maybe he didn't even do it on purpose, right? So his campaign slogan for 2020 is, Make America Great Again. Just completely lifted off the last one there. Allegedly plagiarized. And if you don't believe me, you know I always put proof on this show, right? Here's a clip. Here's a news report from 1987.
There is one less candidate in the race for the presidency tonight. Delaware Senator Joseph Biden dropped out of the hunt today, saying the disclosures about his plagiarism in law school and his exaggerations about his academic record made it impossible for him to continue.
I do it with incredible reluctance, and it makes me angry. I'm angry with myself for having been put myself in the position of having to make this choice.
The Delaware Democrat is the second candidate to be forced from the race by questions of character and integrity. Gary Hart dropped out earlier this year.
Gary Hart, remember him? I remember him. What was the name of that boat he got caught cheating with on that lane? Monkey Business. That's right, Monkey Business. Woo! You know, but back then, you'd get something like that, or like Joe Biden once in a while. Now with Trump, it's like a scandal. It's awesome, right? It's never a dull moment now with Trump here and these Democrats going crazy. Oh, speaking of which, you know, they couldn't get Trump on collusion, and so now they're trying to get him on obstruction of justice. After all of the things that his administration turned over, after all of the indictments, after breaking into people's offices and confiscating all of their stuff, after arresting people on the spot like Roger Stone. I mean, you couldn't do any less obstruction than what Donald Trump did. And they're mad because, like, he said to somebody, he said, you know, you ought to fire that dude. And then he didn't fire him. They're, like, calling that obstruction. It's craziness. But I think the people are going to be on Trump's side on this one. I mean, you ever see the action movies where the hero is falsely accused of murder or whatever crime, and he, like, goes on a manhunt to find the real suspect, and he evades the police, he causes thousands and thousands of dollars in property damage, and then at the end, when he proves that he wasn't really the culprit, and he's exonerated, they just let him go. You know, all of that. All those dead people, all of those, all of the property damage, anything that happened, they just forgive it because he did it all in the name of justice because he was falsely accused in the first place. Now, if that happened in real life, I'm sure that wouldn't occur. But the point is that as far as sympathy goes, we sympathize with somebody who's falsely accused. And so even if he did everything that he's being accused of, I think the general public would still naturally want to forgive him simply because it was all done in the name of exonerating himself because he had never committed the original crime that he was accused of. And it's so funny the twists and turns and backflips that the press will do to not mention his complete and total exoneration by Mueller. You know, they're saying that he fired Comey and that counts. But if you remember, the Dems were mad at Comey, and Trump has always maintained that he thought that it would make him happy if he got rid of Comey. In fact, if you recall, on Stephen Colbert's late night show, his liberal audience applauded James Comey's firing. They went wild until he reprimanded them. I'll play the clip.
FBI Director James Comey has just been fired by Donald Trump. Huge, huge Donald Trump fans here tonight.